I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This very special episode of Blue Shirts Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans. I give a spiel here about why you should join our Patreon. But first of all, the New York Rangers are President's Trophy winners. Didn't see that coming, personally, but wow. And look, we do an episode after every single playoff game. No matter what, within 2 hours, you get an episode of what's going on, what happened in the playoff game. So if you haven't joined our Patreon yet, now's the time. This tis the season, as they say. Every single one. 2 years ago, we did 21 in every other day. It was absolutely insane. So come join us. Join the Patreon. Patreon.com/BlueShirtsBreakaway. Get access to our Discord, ad-free episodes, and all that good stuff, BSBOTs. And wow, we won the President's Trophy. I can't believe it. Team is unbelievable, to be honest. Greg's probably going to mention the Mets, and I'll get pissed off. So without further ado, here's Mark Messier, and let's get to the show.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Hey, Blue Shirts Breakaway, welcome to another episode of the Blue Shirts Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead. I'm here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan, and we are the President's Trophy winners. Gregory, how are you?
Feeling good. Feeling great. Feeling wonderful. The sports are sportsing. The sports are good. Things are going well.
It's probably the best season we'll see in our lifetime. probably. I don't get things down really, right away, but 54 wins, 114 points, both franchise records, probably not going to happen again.
No. When you said the right qualifier, because what you said was in our lifetime. And what you don't understand, Ryan, is that since the earthquake, the Mets are 8-3, which means they're going to win the World Series.
Oh, God. Oh, man. We really stick to our brand.
Someone tweeted that, not that specific line, but that stat. Yes. And I was like, oh yeah, we're just gonna rub our hands together.
Go ahead and do that. Wow, it's a terrible sentence. You said last week didn't matter that they didn't beat the Flyers, and Hey, guess what, Greg? You were right.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to thank the Academy of Losers that were so worried about this Ranger team. Listen, I said this on OT. You listened to me say it on OT.
I did.
You reluctantly agreed with me on OT. The math said that game against the Flyers just could not matter less because the Rangers controlled their own destiny. And Ryan, it's crazy. When a team that controls their own destiny, as talented and as good as the New York Rangers, usually they just get that shit done.
I guess what? They fucking did.
They really did.
They destroyed the Ottawa Senators tonight. Destroyed them, start to finish. I think there was maybe second half of the first period, Ottawa started taking it to the Rangers a little bit. But man, Panarin got 49 goals. Unbelievable season. Ended up with 120 points, MVP chance throughout the Garden, most of the night. Look, Adam Fox, unbelievable. Lafreniere, unbelievable. So many great seasons from everybody. And no matter what happened in January when they had a down period, they finished the season as President's Trophy winners, 114 points, top of the league, and now are locked in to face either one of Detroit, Pittsburgh, or somehow, some way, the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, it seems like the Capitals and Red Wings are the most likely.
That is correct.
So again, because the NHL schedule is dumb, the Penguins now play in what is a meaningless game for the Islanders on Wednesday, who have clinched the third spot in the Metro.
Correct.
Can't move up, can't move down.
Could not mean less for them at all, the Islanders. The Islanders can play nobody and doesn't change anything even a little bit. So
it doesn't matter at all. It's just so funny. You started this podcast. The lead into this podcast is this is the Ranger team that got the most wins in the regular season in team history, the most points, everything wonderful and great. How many Mondays have we had to come on this podcast and try to explain to people that this team is actually good.
I think we're all just in shock from last season. And I get that. We berated the team and they deserved it. Gerard Gallant left. Mika Zibanejad, who still hasn't shaken most of his demons, had a really tough year. Artemi Panarin just decided he was going to take it to the next level and actually did. I don't know if you heard Joe Micheletti tonight. First Ranger with 300 shots since Rick Nash. So just decided to become a shooter all of a sudden and have an MVP level quality season.
That's your boy, by the way.
I love Rick Nash, as you know. Love him. I love him so much. That being said, yeah, dude, like the whole season was special. This team was resilient. They had the most comeback wins in the league. You know, I would like to just reflect on the season a little bit just for a moment, because I think it's at least worth it. There were so many special moments this season. I mean, it's funny to kind of look back at that Conor Mackey fight. It kind of was the moment. At the time, we laughed about it, but it was sort of like the turning point of the season.
Well, was it Mackey, or was it, didn't Will Cooley have the game in Tampa that everyone said, this is it, this is the moment?
Two games before that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, Ryan, hear me out, it could just be that this team was good all along, and people just needed to be a little patient. Like, some guy sitting on this here podcast with me, who all the way back, I don't know if you can remember, Ryan, the fourth game of the season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I did that. Yeah, the Nashville game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I remember the Mets' fourth game of the season as well, and now look.
Well, the difference is the Rangers were always good. The Mets needed a seismological event to wake them up.
The Rangers were good from day one, and they were on a mission from day one. They clearly were super pissed off, and it's such a... The difference between tonight's win for the Rangers and loss for the Devils is as different as it can go from last year's playoff series. Everything went wrong for the Rangers in that playoff series. The Devils figured it out. The Rangers had a 2-0 lead, most dangerous lead in hockey, whatever you want to say. And since then, straight to hell for the Devils. No pun intended, dude. The most embarrassing tweet of the night is that one of the beat writers for the Devils had a tweet out: Islanders and Devils fans are in a joint Rangers suck chant.
Yeah,
I know we do pop and suck. I know we do that. I get it. But like, when you're at that point of the season, that is tough.
I just want to remind, there are a lot of Ranger fans that are also Met fans. I'm not one of them. I think it's lame when this happens. But anytime the Mets and the Red Sox play each other, it breaks out into a Yankees suck chant. So I want to remind the Ranger fans that are Met fans that are making fun of that tweet that you are part of the problem. I just need to put that out there. Need to look some Ranger fans in the mirror. Just saying, you're not one of them. I'm not one of them. I think it's so lame. But just so we don't get clapped on it, Ryan, I'm putting it out there that some people making fun of Devils fans tonight are definitely those Met fans.
100% agree. But yeah, it's such a weird thing to see. Like, I was looking at the Shayna chart at the beginning of the season. The Devils had 94% chance to make the playoffs. Like, oh my goodness.
Well, we were convinced. We said they were a goalie away from being the Stanley Cup favorite.
I know. And we were like, there's no way we don't finish third in the Metro. We won the fucking league. We won the league, dude.
Uh-huh.
Not going away, but we won it. I also saw some Carolina Hurricane fans like saying a fluke goal in Carolina where the Rangers won 1-0 decided the President's Trophy. I don't know, dude. There was also 81 other games.
You didn't see a single fucking Hurricane fan.
I saw one guy. No, yeah, sorry.
You didn't see any. They don't fucking exist. I'm sorry. They're too busy celebrating the fact that NC State made a Final Four to give two shits about hockey right now.
All right, let's go through it. Filip Hedl is likely returning for game one. The Rangers will play Detroit. Detroit, Pittsburgh, or the Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular team you're looking for? It's like, or it doesn't matter at this point.
No, I mean, I kind of had the sentiment on Thursday when we were talking on OT. That was Thursday, right?
I think it was Thursday. It was.
The Rangers are going to have to beat some hockey teams. So I don't care who they match up with first. This is kind of why I was trying to tell everyone. And here's the other thing. So many people would get angry at me for saying things like the players don't really care about these games. They're in the playoffs, just trying to stay healthy. And those same people when I point out that Mika makes an absolutely horrific pass on a power play where he should have fired it on net. They're like, oh, they're just trying to get Panarin his 50th goal. So what is it, guys? Do they care? Do they care about the game, or are they just kind of playing for fun right now? Like, Jesus Christ!
Second half of the game tonight, they were playing for fun. They were doing everything they could to get Panarin that goal.
When Mika made that pass, the game was in doubt. All I'm saying,
yeah, because it was 2-0 at that point. I believe it wasn't like it was not sealed and delivered.
It was the second fucking period. Anything could happen. It's a hockey game. Who would I rather the Rangers play?
I'll rank mine.
Well, I think it's clear that we'd both prefer the Capitals.
That is correct. That is number one on my list.
I don't want to see the Penguins because I don't want to see Sidney Crosby's stupid face, even though I think the Rangers are significantly better than the Penguins. And I also don't want to see the Red Wings because, Ryan, I can see it now. Like, it's my life flashing before my eyes. Those pissant, annoying Ranger fans that are all doom and gloom. If Patrick Kane scores the first goal and it's 1-0 Red Wings after 5 minutes in the first period of game one, all those fans are going to just – Mickey 8 is going to whip his 14-year-old dick out and be like, I told you so. And it's like, God, the Rangers could murder the Red Wings. The Rangers could kill the Penguins. I'd just rather have the Capitals because I won't have to deal with bullshit on the periphery. The bullshit I deal with the Capitals is Peter Laviolette revenge tour and fuck Tom Wilson. Those are things I am prepared for at all times.
I'm 100% aware of those things and I'm ready for them. I'm all there for them. The Capitals play the Flyers tomorrow in their final game. I would say the Flyers have probably given up at this point.
You mean the team that beat the Rangers 6 days ago are now dead?
Yeah, they're very, very dead, is my understanding. And the Red Wings play the Canadiens tomorrow. Again? Wow. Okay, yeah, they played it back-to-back.
What a
schedule.
The NHL's so fucking stupid, man. I know we get into this at the end when I just go on a rant about how there are six games on Thursday, all involving Western Conference teams, and how fucking stupid that is. But a back-to-back to end the season for the Detroit Red Wings. Why?
It just doesn't make any sense.
Just fucking why? Like, what? Days weren't available earlier in the season?
Yep.
They couldn't have kicked the Pistons out of the arena? They haven't won a game in a year.
Yep. So the only way the Penguins can make it. So the Detroit Red Wings are on 89 points. The Capitals are on 89 points. Man, what is the tiebreaker? Regulation wins, right?
Something like that. I don't have to give a
shit. I think it's
about
regulation wins, I believe, because I've been looking it up for the last week, which would mean if the Red Wings win versus the Canadiens, they'll be the team.
No, that's
it.
Well, if it's regulation wins, the Capitals got 31 of those bitches.
Capitals have 39. You're looking at loss column.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
They have 31 wins in regulation.
Okay.
To the 27 for the Detroit Red Wings, which is why the Capitals, if the season ended today, the Capitals would be in the playoffs.
Ah, I see. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Our Capitals it is.
My apologies. Unless I check, there's no way for the Red Wings to win four times tomorrow. So they need
the
Capitals.
That is correct.
To lose.
That is correct. So they need the Capitals to lose to the Flyers. Okay.
The Flyers technically are alive, by the way.
If everyone loses and they win?
Yeah. Because if the Capitals lose, the Red Wings lose, and the Penguins lose, the Flyers with 31 regulation wins and 89 points might move ahead of the Capitals. Because the next tiebreak, I believe, is where the fuck is it?
It's a long list.
I don't know. I think it would go to a third tiebreak because then the Capitals and I don't care. I don't care. The Rangers won the President's Trophy. Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit?
These teams stink. If the Rangers lose to either the Red Wings, Penguins, Capitals, or Flyers, it's a colossal failure of a season. Doesn't matter how many points they got in the regular season.
Massive colossal. Like, the worst possible outcome. Like, the Devils was bad. This is worse. By a lot.
I don't want to have this conversation, but just to ask the question. Okay, mm-hmm. And I'm going to preface this by saying the New York Rangers won 4-0 tonight. They won the President's Trophy. They're the number one overall seed in the NHL. Okay, I need to say that up front.
Really important.
Because if Peter Laviolette loses this first round series, does he come back? No, like he gets fired.
He might not, like he's my favorite coach we've covered.
And it might be one and done if they lose in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, hard for me to argue. Like I could see that happening. It's not unreasonable.
Like the only way they lose in the first round and he returns is if Igor gets hurt in the first 2 minutes of game one, and then all three of Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere go missing.
I just don't see it. And especially the way Igor's playing all of a sudden. Not all of a sudden, for the last 2.5 months since the Sun game, really. He's been out of this world. And do we need to spend time on the Filipino thing? We do spend some time on it later.
I think it's important to talk about now, just so we reinforce the point. We talk about it up front and people don't think we're just forgetting something.
If you're confused, we recorded the second half of this podcast earlier today.
That's what we do.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys know this, but we're busy men.
Yeah, we are. So we're also recording at 10:30 at night after the game.
We're
so.
Also tired men.
That's true. I would agree. Yeah. We work day jobs as well as doing this. So Filipino, let's get to it. So he returned back to practice. Vince tweeted out, he was like, look, his stuff is hanging in the locker, kind of weird. There's a non-contact jersey. There's a contact jersey. Who knows what happens? Next day, he's skating. Cool. All of a sudden, he's back. We're the bad guys, and that's pretty cool. But it seems like Filipino is going to suit up pretty much no matter what. I just don't know. We talk about this later where we think he might suit up, like what position he would play in. But I just don't. I don't see a way he doesn't play in the playoffs. It's kind of weird that I feel so strongly about it.
I don't think it's weird that you feel strongly about it. I don't know why. I don't know why you'd go through the gymnastics of even risking his health in an open practice in a contact, no holds barred jersey if he wasn't going to play for you in the playoffs. Like, if there was, there's no benefit to him to just get some practices in under his belt before the summer, unless he was going to play meaningful hockey for the Rangers. And I, you know, maybe it's not in the first, I'd be stunned if it's not in the first round, but I'll say in a shorter version what I say in a longer version. Everybody that wants him to immediately jump up to right wing one, I just don't know how you put a guy who hasn't played a meaningful hockey game since November immediately on your top line that already has its fair share of question marks. I think you put him in the line that gives him the best chance to succeed, a line that has, by all accounts, been maybe the second best line for the Rangers since the trade deadline, and that's with Wennberg and Kako. He's got experience with Kako. He can play center or wing with Wennberg, who can play center or wing. You don't have to put him out of position, and you're letting him get his feet under him in a role where he should have the matchup advantage every time he touches the ice. I know that it's exciting to put him on right wing one as soon as the playoff starts. It would be, as I say, the most talented person that Zibanejad and Kreider play with so far this season. That's great and good. I don't know how it helps the Rangers. I don't know how it helps Hedl for you to throw a guy who hasn't played a professional hockey game in over 6 months to the Wolves like that. And I also don't know how you throw a guy with that serious and long of a head injury rapport to Tom Wilson potentially like that. Like, I just think you have to play your matchups with Hedl. Let him get his skates under him. If he gets through the first round unscathed and is looking good, then you move him up when the games are going to matter even more. But for now, I think you got to ease him in as much as you can, considering the magnitude of the games the Rangers are going to be playing starting probably Sunday.
The feeling it's gonna hit when the announcer's like, and returning Filip Hedl is going to fucking destroy me. It's so good to see him back. I thought his career was likely in jeopardy. I didn't think we'd see Filip Hedl again this season. I don't want to come off like it's, you know, Mark Stone has returned. We talk about it later, etc. And all those players have come back, and I don't want to feel like Hedl was faking it. I don't think he was. I clearly had a seizure on the ice. It was pretty serious. And to be back at this level and being ready to push towards the playoffs, like, that's chills, man. Like, everything has been really, really weird with this team and the coincidences over the past couple weeks. It's been, I don't know if you're, I'm not sick of seeing it. I'm not. It's just been really strange, the amount of 94 references. And I know there's like a big meme about Ranger fans in 94. I get it. But like the earthquake, like you mentioned earlier, the eclipse, the President's Trophy, 49 goals for Panarin. Backwards is 94.
Like, oh, there's just stop it.
OJ Simpson. Like, there's a lot, dude.
No, the problem is OJ died too early. He should have waited until June 17th to die if the Rangers were really going to be sainted like
all
this.
All I'm saying is there's a lot, man. And I know, look, I don't believe in fate or anything like that. It's not my bag. But there's a lot of coincidences, all I'll say. It does seem very special.
Hold on. I got you, buddy. Here,
you got me. What else you get?
We're gonna figure out just exactly how the Mets started in 1994.
Oh, no. This is what decided the fate of the New York
Rangers.
This is it.
Like, you want to put the stakes out there. I'm going to confirm this for you, man.
Yeah. Well, that's the year before the strike. So they
did it's the
play.
Year of the strike, Chief.
Ah, okay. Sorry.
It's also the year Doc Gooden, who had his number retired yesterday, got a year-long suspension from Major League Baseball because of drug use.
That makes sense. We talk about this later.
We do. 1994. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. many Met years that were not good.
Yeah, well, that's kind of...
Well, they finished 55-58 in the shortened season here.
Okay, so they're on pace.
But let's see how they started the season, shall we?
Oh, we're literally going to game 18.
Yeah, you want to... not a great start. The Mets started 3-0 that year. They swept the Chicago Cubs in Chicago.
Okay, congratulations to the Mets.
Yeah. Doc Gooden won on opening day, only two later than be released. Because, again, I love Lent. You know, who among us?
Who among us?
On my birthday, they did win, though.
Hey, this year again?
Oh, nope, never mind. They lost. They lost 9-5.
All right, we're losing the cup.
Fucking Bobby Jones, that piece of shit. Did he not know? How many runs? Let's play this game.
I'm done with this conversation.
No, how many runs did Gianfranco give up on my birthday?
Oh, perfect. 3. I'm back.
Come on, where's the fucking three?
Come on, three, fingers crossed. Hey, Johnny,
you love your dad, man.
No, dude. I guess this is probably a good time to say it.
Oh my God, he gave up a run. He gave up a run in two innings of work.
Yeah. Okay. Good job. Good job, John.
Some guy named Dave Tailgater also gave up two runs. So, banner day for the New York Mets that day. Either way, I don't think this is 1994.
This team is different. It's
well,
a little different.
Shit. It's fucking 30 years later.
Yeah, it
was
30 years later, man.
Like, I would hope it's different. Mike Keenan is not coaching this team.
No, they have a coach that actually cares about them.
The Rangers' best player is not Brian Leetch.
It's a toss up between Adam Fox and Panarin, but it's Panarin this year for sure.
God, I just remember those rewatches we did of 94 during the deep days in the pandemic. And
Leech
both of us just coming on this podcast being like, how come we don't talk about Brian Leetch every day?
We should talk about Brian Leetch every day of our
every
lives.
Day. The way people talk about Mark Messier is how we should talk about Brian Leetch.
The shine that Mark Messier gets is unbelievable compared to Brian Leetch. Because if you go back and watch those games, guys, Brian Leetch is freaking ridiculous. He's out there for like 38 minutes. He's skating full speed the whole time.
I remember there was one of the games they lost. I think it was it game 6 or game 5 against the Devils when Keenan benches Leetch.
Yes.
You and I come on here
flabbergasted.
Did a podcast and was like, can you imagine if whoever's coaching the Rangers just suddenly benched Adam Fox?
No, dude.
In a do or die playoff game? I couldn't believe it. I cannot believe Mike Keenan benched Brian Leetch in a playoff game.
Like, benching Kako is one thing, right? Like, Kako never lived up to his whatever you want to do, revisionist history with Kako. But he was just he probably was the better player than Dryden Hunt, who's whatever. He definitely was. But he got benched by Gerard Gallant, and that was surprising. Benching Adam Fox, it would melt New York Ranger. We would never be the same. There would be no coming back from it.
No.
There would be no coming back.
God, Brian Leetch, special guy.
Very special player.
Such a boring human being. Maybe that's
one of the most boring vanilla ice cream cone men of all time. But my God, could he play hockey?
You know who Brian Leetch kind of reminds me of? I think I've made this reference specifically about Brian Leetch before. Were you a Parks and Rec fan?
I was.
Do you remember when Adam Scott and Aubrey Plaza go to DC to work for the congressman?
Yes.
And the congressman shows up one day and he's just a robot. And he's like, good to see you. And then he sits in the room and just smiles and never blinks.
Brian Leetch.
That's Brian Leetch.
Yep. But my God, he could skate. He's unbelievable.
He's so
every single
good.
Time.
He's so good. And he's one of those rare guys where if you take Brian Leetch out of the 90s and the 80s and you plop him into today's NHL, it still works. He's still that guy. If you put him on this team, he's the best Ranger defenseman today.
Yeah, he is. I know, which is crazy. And Adam Fox plays on this team.
Yeah.
And he still is probably the better one, which is fucking crazy.
I don't think there's any doubt. Every time someone's like, Patrick Kane, best American-born player of all time.
No, Brian Leach was right there, man. He's right there.
Saw him do it.
He's crazy. What else is there to hit?
Well, let's see. The Chapman got thrown out today. You want to talk about that? Like, he got ejected.
Who, Chapman?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it. What'd he do?
He just started yelling about not getting a strike call on a at-bat that he struck the guy out on anyway.
Who cares?
Hey, you know who sucked today? Brett Beatty. Had another fucking single.
We talk about that later as well.
No, man, listen, it's just crazy to think about where we were mid to early September, talking mm-hmm. about Lafreniere and whether this was going to be his last season with the New York Rangers, whether he was needing a trade for a change of scenery, whether he worked enough in the postseason, the amount of people that were angry that Jonathan Quick was given a roster spot on this team.
On Vincent Trocheck, and is he good enough and worth the contract?
Oh, is he blocking Phil Hedel?
Yep. Is Artemi Panarin worth keeping on this team?
It's nuts.
There's a lot.
It's crazy to think about how just downright negative a lot of the fan base was coming out of training camp, where the Rangers won, what, one game?
Mm-hmm.
They saved it for the regular season, man.
They certainly did, and they have 16 more to go. 16 more wins.
So let's do it one more time, okay? Mm-hmm. One more time. We've had this discussion many times in this podcast, and I know what our answer is. But if anyone's new and they're jumping on before the playoffs get carried away,
welcome to hell.
Welcome to hell. The absolute minimum you need from this Ranger team to say it was a good season is what?
All right, I guess I'll do this now. So I think they're going to win the cup, Gregory. I need them to win the cup.
Okay.
Come September, I will be a father.
Oh, boy, here we go.
And I don't want responsibility when they win the cup. I am going to have to be, unlike my father, be responsible towards my daughter. And because of
that. Oh, it's a girl.
It is.
Oh, she's so fucked.
I know, dude. I'm so sorry.
Oh, God. I cannot see you. I have a hard enough time seeing you as a dad, but a girl dad, God, D's got a lot. She's going to have to work real hard.
It's going to be tough for everybody in this family. And that's why they need to win the cup, Gregory. Because you asked me, why do they need to do that? Because in June, I won't be a dad yet. In September, I will. And in June, I can drink in the streets. And in June, I can rejoice and finally celebrate this team that we've been covering on this podcast for 9 fucking years. And this team that won the President's Trophy, that went out there and has probably the best roster of talent we'll see in a very long time. I know we said that last year, but this team is better chemistry. It's better coached. It doesn't have the name brand, but the overall talent is all there. Igor is in his prime. Adam Fox is in his prime. Kreider's still in his prime. Mika's still in his prime. Panarin is in his prime. We have the depth. The depth pieces. Wenberg is a great depth piece. Kako's still playing really well. Lafreniere's blooming in front of our eyes. There's so much greatness on this team. It's a failure if they don't get to the at least game 7 of Eastern Conference Finals, but for me, they need to win the cup.
I can see how funny already the interaction will be if the Rangers win the cup and you're on the street for the parade and a fan of the podcast walks up to you and goes and is just celebrating and just yells at you, "Hey, where's Greg?" And you have to explain to him that Greg is at Citi Field seeing if Adrian Hauser can improve the 6-8.
You'd be at the fucking parade. Relax.
I don't know. I had two experiences this weekend where I was at sporting events and people recognized the Church of Kako hat. The first was at MSG. After the game, waiting in line. And we can end on this note. This is perfect. After the game, waiting in line to take a piss. And yep. Group of 20-something standing in front of me, 4 of them, giving one of their Islander friends a really hard time. The kid in front of me, urinal opens up. He doesn't make a move, tap him on the shoulder, point him towards the urinal. He goes, "Nah, you can go ahead." And I just, as I do, say, "Oh, nice, good luck on the shit," and just walk to the urinal.
Great just, lie, Gregory.
Well, I just, why else would you be waiting for a stall? So I just congratulated the guys. Like, hey, man, good luck in there. You know, you're taking the shit at MSG after a Ranger game. At some point, you're taking life in your own hand, putting your ass on that seat.
Yeah, ass in the jackpot.
And he sees my hat. And he goes, man, I love Blue Shirts Breakaway. But at that point, like, I'm at the urinal and my dick's out.
No.
So I'm not saying a word back. It's like, I have a rule, all right? My rule is, if I'm actively peeing, we're not conversing.
I think that's fair. That's very fair.
And then,
extremely fair rule, Gregory.
And then at Citi Field the next day, in between, there's a little rain delay between the dock ceremony and the start of the game. So I got up, got a beer, walked around, just didn't want to sit in my sardine seat, and hanging out with my friend. And a guy in a Ranger jersey walks by with his friend. And the guy, I'm face deep in some chicken tenders, because that's what you do at Met Game. Guy goes, nice hat. And I think he's just talking to my friend who's wearing a Met hat. And I look her dead in the eyes and just go, well, that's weird. And she's like, I'm pretty sure he's talking to you. And I turn around and he's like, Blue Shirts Breakaway, yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And I like forgot to even say that. Like, I'm Greg, by the way. It's me.
It's like the first time I saw Valley, like in 2019. I walked out and I was wearing a Blue Shirts Breakaway shirt. And he was like, are you Ryan or Greg? And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, I was deathly ill that day. And you're like, Greg, Valley wants to take a picture with us. And I was like, okay.
I'm dying. Anyway, we talk a lot more about this team in just a couple of seconds. President Trophy winners, New York Rangers. The playoffs start Sunday? Saturday?
Bigger, Ryan, we got to have the conversation. Bigger accomplishment, the Rangers winning the President's Trophy or the Mets getting back to 500 before game 20?
I hate you. I hate you. I hate you and other people hate you, but goddamn it, is this a show. All right, man. Let's get to the other part of the show. But before that, transition from our sponsors. Here we go. Transition. Hey, yo, the playoffs are here, and I'm here to tell you about our official ticket sponsor for the entire season. That's right, it's TickPick. That's right, TickPick. President's Trophy winner, New York Rangers, you want to go see them? You go and buy your tickets on TickPick.com, and when you're checking out, you slam the checkout button. You go, damn, that was the price I saw, and the fee didn't change, and I'm going to see the Rangers live at Madison Square Garden or on the road wherever they are, and I bought these tickets on TickPick, and Ryan Mead, a Blue Shirts Breakaway, saved me personally $15 at checkout because I used promo code BLUESHIRTS15 on an order over $99, and he repeated it to me. He said BLUESHIRTS15 on an order of over $99, and I got $15 off, and I'm going to see the freaking Rangers play in the playoffs where they won the President's Trophy, and this team is actually good, and the app was so easy to use, and I loved the experience, and I got $15 off when I used BLUESHIRTS15 when I checked out. Let's go Rangers, why not us? And I'm going to see the playoffs, which is why you're using TickPick, the number one ticketing app for Ranger fans.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, we're back with 5-star questions. No guests this week. And of course, the Rangers won the President's Trophy. Right, Greg?
Oh, see, now you did it.
I did it. Yeah.
This is fucking on you, man. If it goes poorly tonight, I don't want to fucking hear it from anybody. Ryan did not say he was doing this. He did not make a comment that he was going to make a joke at the beginning of this.
I did not.
This is on Ryan. If anybody wants to be angry at anybody, the man to be angry at is Ryan Gianfranco Mead.
How'd you know my middle name that my dad gave me? That's crazy. We are recording before the 7:30 game versus the Ottawa Senators, so these are all 5-star questions that would have happened with or without whatever happened tonight. Because to be honest with everybody listening, no matter the result of what happened tonight, we don't know who the Rangers are playing. We have no fucking idea.
What a stupid fucking... I'm sure I did the rant in the beginning of the podcast, but let's make sure I did it right now.
Oh, yeah, do it right now.
The NBA... Ryan, I don't know. Have you heard of that league? The National Basketball Association.
Actually pretty well run. It's quite frustrating.
Yeah. They had all their teams play their 82nd game on Sunday, one week before the playoffs start and 2 days before the play-in games start. And it's just crazy to me that they were able to sync that up.
You're telling me there's a pivotal game on Wednesday versus Penguins and Islanders? That's pretty interesting. Not as pivotal anymore, but could still be. Interesting.
You know there are games on Thursday?
No, there's not. You got to be kidding me. Hold on.
I'm double checking. I think someone told me there were six games on Thursday.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
We're not going to get the actual, the playoffs start on Saturday, but we don't know who's playing until Friday morning?
Yeah. Well, we might know in the East. Every game on Thursday is a West Coast game. Kraken Wild, and good news, they all involve playoff teams. Kraken Wild, Canucks Jets, Sharks Flames, Oilers Avalanche, Ducks Golden Knights, Blackhawks Kings. All Thursday.
And according to the NHL.com, it starts the playoffs on April 20th. Is that correct?
That's Saturday. But I promise you, the Canucks will not be playing Saturday. The Jets will not be playing Saturday. The Oilers and the Avalanche will not be playing Saturday. The Golden Knights will not be playing. One of those teams is going to have to fucking play on Saturday, which means they're going to get one practice on Friday before the playoffs start.
2 days rest.
Meanwhile, the Rangers get a week.
Yeah, which I'm down for. Thanks. But also, what?
It's so stupid. Also, this is why
the Rangers might not be able to play on Saturday. What the?
Why are the Sharks and the Flames even playing? Like, just go home. Call it a day.
It's over. The Sharks have like a minus 120 goal differential. It's
got to get
brutal.
It to 125, man.
All right, cool.
So fucking stupid.
I hate it. I hate it so much. And I think there's a chance. Like, I'm sure we talked about this too. The Rangers play Saturday night at 8, but even then.
The Knicks
have to be at 1 o'clock on Saturday if that's the only way.
And that assumes that that game doesn't go to overtime.
Yep.
Which you can't make in the playoffs. And playoff commercial breaks are simply longer. A normal NBA game is about 2.5 hours. It's 3 and change with the playoff commercial breaks. So that game, it takes 3 hours to break down one arena and set up the other. And that's after all the fans have left. If the Knicks will have to start at noon. You're going to really start an NBA playoff game at noon in order to fit the Rangers in at 8?
See, this is why I think they're playing Sunday at 1.
You have to remember, so I don't know. I think they're ESPN.
But they also want to stagger the starts, right? With the West. But
you have to remember what your quote-unquote prime time start times are for a Sunday.
3.
That's usually 3 and 6.
Yep.
So I would think they would want the Rangers, a very big viewing audience, in prime time.
Yeah, especially if it's Rangers Islanders, which who knows, but
or Rangers Penguins or Rangers Capitals.
Yeah, those are all big.
It's gonna be a rivalry game any way you slice it. I'm hoping the Rangers get 3:30 on Sunday. I think that's best case scenario where it doesn't fuck our lives up too much and we can host the watch party and everyone have a good time and not feel like, you know, they got the Sunday scaries.
Sunday at 8 p.m. is a nightmare for game one of a playoff hockey. Like, that is freaking crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to say I'd kill myself, but I'd have a...
it's on the table. let's read some questions from 5-Star Questions. If you want to leave one, you can join our Patreon, which people keep subscribing to, surprising to me and Greg. And you can leave a question on 5-Star Question channel in our Discord, which some people sometimes need help. And if you need help, just DM me on Twitter. I'll figure it out for you.
Well, let's do a little plug, which I'm sure you did at the beginning of this podcast. But again, Greg, I like to cover our tracks here, Ryan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're not a Patreon subscriber, now's the time. Mm-hmm. I do vibe checks before most of the playoff games. We do an OT after every playoff game. With the only exception being if the game falls on a Monday, then we do the normal show after a playoff game. But if the Rangers play a playoff game, you will have a BSBOT ready for you within 2 hours of that playoff
like
game.
One
ending.
Way or another, no matter where Greg and I are. And I'm serious, like the streets of New York, Ohio for work, whatever it is.
We've done one at a bachelor party that we were both at.
Yes.
In fucking upstate New York.
We were with all of our friends.
I was at a wedding that I was in that I had to do one at for game 6 last year, was maybe my finest performance in podcast history.
Yes. Especially because I was driving back from the game. Like, you get the podcast. It's coming.
And again, like, here's the thing. We're serious, too. If the Rangers play Sunday, you get a BSBOT from us on Sunday. And then Ryan and I have to get together on Monday and somehow talk about something else.
Yeah, and we'll have to do it for all the people because that's also our most listened to episodes. So we have to kind of reiterate some, but I don't know. You get first take. You get
the good news. I promise you guys, the Mets will do something stupid in that 12 hours.
Hey, they look pretty good right now. So
they do look great. Jose Buto, baby. I'm a big guy.
Hey, I knew you were going to pick him up today. It was a lock of all locks.
Yeah. Vinny texted me being like, I didn't even bother putting a bid in. I knew
me either. I didn't either. I was like, yeah, it's a great guy. So
I'm sorry. Six shutout innings, nine strikeouts. He's looked great in his two starts. He's staying, baby.
His name? That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. This is from AZK. Formerly deleted. Now still in the Discord. Which parts of Bohemian Rhapsody would you assign to various Ranger players? For example, Jacob Trouba obviously is Mama Just Kill the Man. And Vincent Trocheck is obviously Mama Mia. I think I would need all the lyrics to Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, like, I know them, but to lay them out for Ranger players, it's a little tough.
I don't even think. I know them when the song's playing, but I don't know them unless I can hear the song playing.
Yeah. I'm gonna be a loser on this one. I'm so sorry. This is from Abstract A.
Oh,
what would be a panger banger, and why isn't there a BSB drinking game involving this? And it's a picture of a Tammy Panarin taking the drink from between the benches.
Mm. So here's the thing about drinking games:
they're dangerous.
You hit a certain age, you stop doing them.
Yeah,
like, you know what drinking game I like to play when I'm with my friends?
Drink.
Drink.
Yeah, me too.
I'll still play Pong occasionally. Baseball has become very popular.
I never played baseball.
It's nice because there's four people to a team and you rotate, and there's more downtime than regular beer pong.
Pong is still classic, man. I know we're old now, but it's such a good time just to hit the table one more time.
I know, but if someone ever asked me, like, hey, do you want to jump into our game of Civil War? I'd be like, God, fuck
no,
you. Just kill me now.
No.
I don't want balls barraged at my face that quickly anymore. I don't want to chug beverages that quickly anymore. I need the smooth jazz drinking game. And dude, that's essentially what baseball is.
Doing this podcast for too long.
Yeah, no, why don't we have a BSB drinking game? Because, frankly, like...
We're too old.
I'm just too fucking old, man.
We're too old now. This is from the Bregman. I think that's a play on the Breadman and also Alex Bregman, I guess.
We have a lot of Astros fans in our
weird,
Discord.
Right? I thought that was strange. Mm. With all the relocation / expansion talk, and oh my God, I'm curious where y'all think would rank the biggest contender cities: Salt Lake City, Houston, Atlanta the third time, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Arizona again, or if you'd maybe throw a sleeper ranking in there: Omaha, Portland, Milwaukee, Indianapolis.
Is this when we should talk about what the fuck happened with the Coyotes?
It's so they're selling the team to the league itself.
Yep.
And then the league is selling it to the Utah group.
That's correct.
And then they will get first dibs when the expansion happens to make an attempt to bring not the Coyotes to Arizona.
No, the Coyotes.
Okay. Because it's a different franchise now.
Yeah, technically the Coyotes are going to be deactivated or whatever.
Correct. So Utah will be like the Snowbirds or whatever it is.
The agreement is the Coyotes have to win that land auction and have an actual plan for an arena, and then Morello has to give the $1 billion back to the NHL, and that's how the Coyotes come back.
Greg, let me just follow up on that. This week, this was reported by not only the Steve Dangle Network, but also Sportsnet. There was a report saying they needed to call the Coyotes to ask them to pay their hotel bills. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Just want to, like, it doesn't, you guys, what? That's not happening.
Yeah. So I don't, there are plenty of rich people in the world that would want a hockey team.
By the way, guys, and I hate, like, of every city you listed here, Bregman, Salt Lake, Houston, Atlanta, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Arizona, Omaha, Portland, Milwaukee, Indianapolis, the only two, the only one that's even comparable to Arizona in terms of, like, growth and population is Houston.
It's kind of shocking Houston doesn't have a hockey team.
Yeah, Houston would be the team. I think it's going to be Atlanta, by the way. I think it's going to be Atlanta in the expansion for sure.
And I think unless they move to the suburbs like the Braves did, I think it'll fail for a third time. And
I agree.
Talking about where's Atlanta moving to this time. I think Houston makes all the sense in the world. I think it's at this rate either top five or top 10 in terms of population and growth. So putting a franchise there, the Texans have never been bigger. The Rockets are on the upswing again. The Astros are the Astros. It's crazy there isn't a hockey team there. Salt Lake City, I get it, because that's kind of the home of the Winter Olympics for the United States. Like, I know I think upstate New York, like way upstate, the North Country, has the luge training and the bobsled training, but just about everything else is hubbed in Salt Lake City. So it makes sense to have a winter sports franchise there, and you have the Jazz, so you have another major sports team to pair with. I have no idea what you're going to call Salt Lake City or Utah's hockey team. I saw our friend Pete Blackburn?
It is.
Blackburn, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he wants them called the Soakers.
Yep.
10-4, good buddy. I'm here for it.
Great name.
And if you don't understand that joke, just Google BYU.
that's it.
Yeah, after that, it gets tough. To me, it's weird that San Francisco doesn't have a hockey team. Like, I know that they have San Jose, but those are two different places. I don't care what anyone says. Don't start saying Silicon Valley to me and expect that to be a catch-all. That's like me saying tri-state area, and I get to claim New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey.
Yep.
All of a sudden. It's bullshit.
There are some teams that probably should move first, but there are teams that would never move. Like the Flames probably should move.
Florida Panthers should probably fucking move.
Panthers somehow do significantly better than the Calgary Flames. I don't know how.
No, the Flames do. Are you thinking of the Jets? The Jets aren't doing great.
That's true as well. I'm trying to look for attendance.
It's also
this
because
year.
Winnipeg is. Have you been to Winnipeg?
No.
Exactly.
We've talked about the airports. Yeah. So the lowest percentage average this year apparently is the San Jose Sharks. No surprise there.
No fucking shock there.
Then the Jets and the Sabres are right below that. Followed
Which is
by
crazy because the Jets might win the Western Conference.
Correct. And then Buffalo Sabres and Anaheim Ducks after that. Sorry, CBJ and Anaheim Ducks.
And both the Ducks and Blue Jackets make sense. They stink.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. Houston, to me, is the one that deserves a franchise. I would just stop putting teams in Atlanta. If you want a team in the South, put them in New Orleans. Why are we going back to a market we know failed when we can go to a market that would maybe be excited by the prospect of having a professional franchise?
I know. All right, next question. This is from Wenberg Efter. Wow, okay. All right.
Good for him.
Even though he's been improving, there's been so much hate for Barclay Goodrow this year. What scenario is there where the entire MSG is chanting Barclay like Henrik, Igor, or Rempe? I'm thinking game 7, they're up a goal and he blocks potential goal tying. If he scores a goal and they win a series, he'll get it. But I think that's like the only situation.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, even if he blocks a goal, they're not chanting his name. That's just not how. Like Rempe, only Rempe and Igor get their name chanted. That's it.
The Rempe stuff's so weird to me, man.
I get it. He's a call hero. I understand. I know where it's coming from.
All right.
This is for Jets Rangers 1. At what point do we stop using the term top 6 with this team, considering at 5v5, the Trocheck-Wenberg lines are consistently outplaying the Mika line? Right now, it's really more of a top 9, and then it is top 6 essentially since production-wise, Mika line could be considered the third line at this point. I don't think that's true at all. While the quote-unquote top line, even though Vince today very cheekily put Panarin as the top line and said it was his personal preference, very nice, the Mika Zibanejad line still produces. Like, I know it doesn't produce at 5v5, but they are part of, that entire line is part of power play, and they produce.
Well, what's the point? Why do we start calling it the top 6 and start calling it the top 9?
Yeah, like, we don't. Who cares? I actually don't know if it matters, Jets Ranger.
We call it both. Who cares?
Yeah, this is like one of those, is this a semantic question? Like, I'm not sure we care.
when do we start calling it a deck chair and calling it a sun chair?
Interesting.
Hmm.
I think your point is that Mika's line is not producing. We agree. You've heard this podcast before? We've been pretty hard on Mika all year, yeah.
And when the Rangers need a goal, they put out Panarin, Lafreniere, and Trocheck. So saying that all year, too.
This next question is really fucked up. This is from four-star David. Who's worse at picking winners, Ipe or Ryan with number one overall picks in Dynasty Baseball?
Boom!
Oh, God.
Who's worse? Probably you.
Did lose $40 million.
You passed on Jackson Holiday.
I did.
You also passed. Again, it's not that Jason Dominguez is a bad player. It's that you could have had him third and decided, no, fuck that. I'll trade a lot of things to get him at one.
Yeah, I did.
And then you gifted me the best player in that draft for no fucking reason.
Rushman, yeah, that is correct.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So you're not great at this.
Orioles are very good. this it's from iDecker998. How do you guys think the people panicking during the Flyers game managed to avoid having aneurysms during the playoff games?
Here's my thing. Here's my thing. Can I cut you off right there?
Please.
I say let them have the aneurysm.
Yep.
I think the world is overpopulated.
Yeah, there we go. I actually want to talk on this just a little bit. I'm going to get a little nerdy just for 3 seconds. So there's a great podcast called Plain English. It's by Derek Thompson. He's a writer for The Atlantic. It's on the Ringer Network, whatever.
Big fan. We suckle at the teat of the Ringer, man.
I like bow at the altar of Derek Thompson. It's disgusting how much I like him.
I am that way with just like Brian Curtis and David Shoemaker. So I get it.
They're amazing as well. Media podcast. Anyway, there's a recent podcast if you guys want to listen to. It's called The Psychologist Explains 4 Reasons the Internet Feels So Broken. And one of the reasons is like people that come on the internet and say a lot of negative things, they get more exposure. Mm-hmm. And they get rewarded for it. It actually, like, it's a constant feedback loop of being rewarded. And there are a couple people, and we all know them, who go online and like when the Rangers lose the Flyers game and they go fucking bonkers, dude. It's crazy. They go absolutely out of their mind. Like the Rangers are missing the playoffs like the Devils, but they're not. But there is like when you say like a vocal minority, like that's a real thing. And they are out there. Because I got to tell you guys, I've met a lot of people from Twitter, like a shocking amount from the game day watch parties we've done to events we've held to all this stuff. And I think, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe 2 to 3 have been absolute weirdos. And for the most part, everybody else has been like a genuinely great and nice human. It's shocking. It's shocking.
Let's be clear about one thing here. If you come to an event that Ryan and I host, you're fucking weird. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I love
you. By the
way,
we are hosting a watch party this weekend.
I love you all, and I need you all to keep showing up to these things. But yeah. I just there is a delineation here between weird, like there's levels to weirdom. I think anybody that's just a doomsday device, everything's terrible, the world sucks, I told you so type sports fan. If you don't actually meet those people in real life because they don't leave the house. Their entire life and personality is online.
It's
because
funny.
They've been told that they have self-worth and importance on the internet. And if you take the internet away from them, they feel empty and confused.
One of the things that this podcast points out, the one I referenced, is that people that are very, very angry online, when you meet them in person, they are incredibly reasonable.
Yeah.
It's just like that happens nonstop.
That's what makes me so special. I'm actually this angry all the time.
This is exactly true. It's exactly true.
People legitimately think it's a shtick. And fucking, I was at the Met game yesterday. Big surprise. Yep. Brett Beatty comes up with 2 on and 2 out. And my first immediate reaction is if this fucker makes 1 fucking out right now, I'm going nuclear. And then he didn't. And I was happy because he took his walk and he's fine.
Yep. Yeah, he's nice. There you
go. Also, I'm just going to so many people are like, Greg, when are you going to admit that Brett Beatty's good? When he gets a second extra base hit, I'll think about it. That motherfucker is a singles machine.
Gotten multiple texts from people who have been on this show about this, like our friends.
They're like, Greg, have you seen that he's hitting .315? Yeah, with a .389 slugging percentage. Sorry if I'm unmoved. Harrison Bader's hitting .300, has 0 extra base. I'm also mean to him.
I'm going to go off the rails here. We have a lot of friends that work at SNY. Do you think they ever let you come on?
Oh, God, no. Well, I don't know, because they let that idiot Sal Licata come on all the time.
I don't know who Sal Licata is, should I?
No, because you don't listen to WFAN anymore, because it's in the shit.
Yeah, that's true.
But Sal is a guy that goes, I think he does, Sal and Tiki, I think is the show.
Oh, Tiki Barber? No, thanks.
No, isn't Tiki with Evan now? I don't know.
I genuinely like Evan, or used to like Evan, and it's very upsetting that he's gone down the hill.
We've done this rant multiple times with
one
Katie
day,
Bates.
One day this summer, we got to really get into it.
But yeah, Sal is just the worst type of Met fan that's ever existed, and they let him on all the time. So I don't know what makes me any different.
I guess that's true.
Swear.
Yeah, we could do. We've done the news. We could do without swearing.
I've been on PIX twice and haven't said a bad word once.
This is from Trav Shred. The news about Phil Heedle, who we haven't talked about, but I'm sure we talked about in the open extensively.
I'm sure we talked about him in the open. Unless we did it. Do you want to talk about the line brawl now or later?
Oh, the line brawl was insane tonight. I mean, I can't believe Philip came in from the benches. That was wild.
He came out of the rafters like Sting.
I can't wait for that to happen. I was thinking about that all weekend. The news about Filip Hedl today is so exciting, but of course his health is the most important thing moving forward. However, if he's ready to go at any point during the playoffs, where would you guys want to see him? Is he slotted in a 3C moving Wennberg down, or does he slot next to Mika on his line? What would that mean for Roslovic? I think, and let me just ask this next question too, because it goes right into this, Greg.
Sure.
From Dr. Kruger. If Hedl comes back for the playoffs, this isn't the one. This is a different one. This is from Ranger Gunnar. How much do we regret that Drury didn't trade for Duclair instead of Roslovic? So, like, look, let's get into this now. So, like, Roslovic's been fine. He's been just okay. He hasn't been making the impact that other right wingers have in the past that we've made the trades for. Kopp, Petrano, whatever you want. He was a last second option. They trade nothing for him. Still a good NHL player, still can contribute. For me, and tell me if you disagree, I think Filip Hedl gets the first shot on that top line right away. They got to just see if it works. If he's actually playing, he gets it. If not, he plays on the third line and plays on the left wing if possible. I don't think they're moving Wennberg and Kopp away from each other at all. Period. End of story.
I'm going to say this now because I'm going to make sure that it's said on this podcast before, just in case something shitty happens.
Somehow, someway, yes.
Two things can be true simultaneously. And I think this is really important. I will be on the verge of stripping naked and celebrating if I see Phil Hedl's name in the lineup for game one, Saturday or Sunday.
Correct.
Absolutely. No questions asked. I'm going to be through the roof.
You're not alone.
At the same time, I don't know if it's a great idea to allow the guy coming back from a significant head injury, who has a long, long history of significant head injuries, to come back and play in the playoffs and with just throwing him to the wolves. Both things can be true. I'm going to be thrilled to see Phil. It's a lot like, remember when Alex Smith came back from his near amputation of his leg?
Yeah, very, very cool moment.
And his second game was against the L.A. Rams?
Aaron Donald, yes.
Yeah, and every thought every person who watched football had is, I think Aaron Donald might kill him. And I'm going to have the same thought, Ryan, every time Phil steps onto the ice for his first, like, 10 shifts.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, and it you know, again, I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm not saying Phil shouldn't. I'm not saying Phil should. Whatever he wants to do, I support. And if he plays, I'm going to be fucking thrilled. But I'm also going to find it near impossible to watch him play hockey without thinking the entire time that if he takes a hit in the wrong way, I might never see this man again. Now, to answer the question, I don't see any logical way you can put him on the first line immediately. I also don't think you're breaking up Wennberg and Kako. You don't have time to experiment in the playoffs.
No, you don't.
So to me, whether Phil's playing center or Phil's playing left wing, he's on the third line, eating up these minutes with Kako and Wennberg, where they are playing at such an advantage already against every other team's bottom six that the Rangers have this significant shift in ice. You let Hedl play that entire first series on that third line, get comfortable, play with two guys who are absolutely fucking cooking, and play against inferior opponents, which is also important for Phil, for him to get his feet under him. And if you make it out of the first round and Phil's put a couple goals in the back of the net and he looks like he's humming and that line's humming, then I think about moving him up to the first line and you can move Roslovic around and that's fine and good. I don't know why everyone is so confident that the player who hasn't played since November, who had one contact practice 2 months ago and got hit by a ghost and magically went away for a while, I don't know why everyone's so eager to then put him on a top line where Zibanejad and Kreider are going to be playing against either Barzal's line or Crosby's line. He's the fucking kid back in, guys. What are we doing? The reason why the kid line was so great for each of the last two postseasons is because they ate the lunch of every other line they went up against. Why wouldn't I want that same advantage with two players, Kako, who has experience playing with Phil, and Wennberg, who seems like a fucking Energizer bunny on crack? Why wouldn't I want Phil to come back? Eat that third line would be fucking Super Saiyan with Phil Hedl on it.
I do want to point this out because I've been dreaming about this. You know how sometimes the Laviolette has to change up the lines, like power play one was just out there too long, et cetera, whatever. I think Kidline coming over the boards in the playoffs might just full send me. Filipino, Kako, and Lafreniere just like, we're not for power play one, just too long. Got to get a shift to get the other guys rested. Kidline comes over the boards. I might just explode.
I hear everybody. I know why they want to do it. It's easy to fantasy book Hedl back into the top line, and he's a highly skilled player, highly talented, would be the best winger to play with Zibanejad and Kreider all year long. All those things can be true. I just don't know why this fan base, who shits their pants if the Rangers don't have a good first period against the New York Islanders, are also the same fans that are like, no, this guy who hasn't played in 6 months should definitely be our first line right winger. Yep. Totally. That doesn't compute to poor little Gregory over here.
This is the question I started reading before from Dr. Kruger. If Hedl comes back for the playoffs, does the NHL suddenly fix playoff cap circumvention because the Rangers started doing it? First of all, the Hedl stuff is pretty serious. I don't know how much
it isn't. Imagine Drury went up to Hedl one day. He was like, hey, man, listen, we're going to put you out there with fucking Jake Lechishin.
Yeah, look, we know what we're doing. It's Jake Lechishin, the ghost. You're going to get hit by a ghost.
Phantom Jake is clumsy and dumb enough where it'll be believable if we say you two
WWE for me.
Yeah. No one would think twice if we said Phantom Jake took you out accidentally. They'd be like, that makes perfect sense. That guy doesn't know how to fucking run. So... but here's the thing. Here's why the NHL might fix it. Because Noah Hanifin just got, an $8 million contract from Vegas?
Yes, he did.
They're like $25 million over the cap this summer. What the
fuck? Yes. The amount of reporters that would keep telling us that Mark Stone's injury is very serious and his spleen is bleeding and he's practicing with a non-contact as of like yesterday is hilarious.
Jesse Granger, who covers the Golden Knights, very aptly pointed out that this would be the second straight year that Mark Stone, who suffered a very serious injury before the playoffs, months before the playoffs, has magically returned to practice exactly 8 days before the end of the season.
Makes you think. Are we the bad guys? So this is from Phil S. This is for Greg. With Passover coming up, which Ranger is Moses, and why is Gerard Gallant Pharaoh?
First of all, no.
Glant took some L's over the weekend, by the way.
My God, did he? Once again, just why it took a year to tell that story, I don't know.
Larry, what the hell, man?
So if we want to go historical, Moses is an outsider who the Jewish people of Egypt are pretty skeptical of because he comes from a bit of a rich adopted lineage, you could say. But is given the leadership position within the organization of the Jews and leads his people out of Egypt reluctantly at first. And as time goes on, they believe in him more and more. Ryan, if I'm not explaining Jacob Trouba, I don't know where we're going to be. And this could also work for the Ranger fans that want Trouba to leave before the end of his contract. Because as you might famously know, Ryan, Moses never made it to Israel. He died on the mountain before he got in there. And also famously, Moses beat the shit out of a rock in order to draw water from it, and God did not like that. And Trouba has thrown helmets.
Yep.
You know, he's a big dude, throws his body around, he's broken things.
A lot of people are angry at him.
All the time.
Yeah, constantly.
So Trouba's Moses. Deal with it, people. As for who is Pharaoh, probably Sidney Crosby. Probably Sidney Crosby.
This question from Suck My Caco. Let's assume Hedl is ready for the playoffs. Would it be better to split time? These are all the same questions. Would it be better to split time Rossovic right wing one and get chemistry? We kind of answered these already. This is from Chris Norway. I think it's very similar. If Hedl goes back for the playoffs, are we really feeling good about that from a non-hockey perspective? One setback and he's retiring. Kind of answered that too.
Yep.
Kristen's asked odds Hedl's actually back for the playoffs. I think pretty good, actually.
Yeah, at this point, I'd be surprised if he doesn't play.
I'd be shocked if he didn't give it a shot. Let's put it that way.
I just don't know why he'd be skating if the intention wasn't to play.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Skating in a non-contact. Full contact.
But not just that. It's just like, if he wasn't going to play in the playoffs, you're just distracting these guys from getting ready for the playoffs.
This one's from Frank T. I like this question. Do you think the third line is playing enough minutes? It looks to me like they're buzzing, but not getting more than 15 minutes a night. It's hampering on their production, etc. They should be able to compete with any of the third or fourth lines left in the standing while giving the top six more times resting games. The reason they're not doing that is because, well, first of all, they're also matching up against other third lines, which are also getting 14 to 15 minutes. And you want to get Lafreniere and Panarin's line out there as much as possible. And as much as Mika Zibanejad hasn't created a 5v5, they're still very dangerous. Like, they need to get as many chances as possible comparatively to Wennberg and Kako.
And that's not taking into consideration the fact that the Rangers will have to kill penalties and play on the power play at different times, too. Yeah, I mean, if there were no penalties in a hockey game and every team was just rolling their lines 5v5, I think the third line would get more minutes. But it's just not how the game goes.
This will ask questions from Eeyor Shesterkin, and it starts with, might be an offseason question. That means it is. We'll talk about it in the offseason.
Hold on, no, read the question. Let me get angry.
What's the max you would spend to retain Wennberg?
I fucking hate it already.
A good amount, by the way.
I just stop.
Sorry.
I don't know. Here's the thing, Ryan. I don't know if I want to keep Wennberg. If he sucks ass in the playoffs, I'll give him his walking papers.
We got to find some stuff out, guys, over the next couple weeks. Yeah. I do want to mention something that just happened. John Sterling, New York Yankees radio announcer, has said he's going to retire immediately.
Immediately?
He's hosting a press conference on Friday and is likely about his immediate retirement.
Immediately means he's not healthy, which is not how you want him to go.
Yes. John Sterling, a man I listened to a lot of growing up.
Can I tell you something I found on I haven't been home a lot this week to nobody's surprise. And in a hotel room, there weren't a lot of channels for me to choose from, and the internet was out, so I had to watch cable.
Wow.
Yeah, I wanted to die when I was in Buffalo. I hear you. I think it was just my room. I get it. I think I was targeted. Anyway, I turned on Yes, and they play old Yankee playoff games. They were playing Game 7, the Aaron Boone game, off Tim Wakefield. And they did this interesting thing where it was a Fox game, obviously. So instead of getting the Fox broadcast, they superimposed Sterling and Susan over the telecast.
Yep.
That's a great idea.
It's amazing. Sterling and Susan, like, in their prime, are some of the best baseball announcing. Like, it's not the best. You're not getting the best quality, but you are entertained.
It's a shtick. It's a shtick that works for me. I'm not a Yankee fan, but if I was, I'd fucking love it. I don't like the people that are anti-Sterling, because I just don't think you're appreciating
how, like, great it is.
Yeah, it's kind of like Sam Rosen to a certain extent, where, like, other fan base would be like, he gets the names wrong all the time. You know what I would love? If I was listening as a Yankee fan to a Yankee game, it is high, it is far, it is caught at the warning track.
An A-bomb from A-Rod.
That would fucking crack me up every time. I don't know. You love your guys. I'm not a big Susan Waldman fan, but I think she's super important. Her existence is super important, because whether you think
of all the dramatic things.
he's in Josh's box. She should have done fucking WWE.
Yeah, she's made for it.
That's me. No, but, like, listen, I don't think Susan Waldman's very good, but I'm happy she's here, because someone has to kick down the door. And whether Susan, I'd have a hard time. I just don't think she's very good. I'm just happy she's in there. Like, it's a different slice of Doris Burke might be the best basketball broadcaster I've ever heard in my entire life.
Broadcaster, not podcaster. That's for sure.
Oh, does she do a podcast?
Unless she guests on Low Post once in a while. Not a fan.
I don't listen to Low Post.
I like Zach. Anyway, continue.
Remember when we created a basketball podcast and named it the Low Post, and then that guy stole it from us?
That's hilarious that we did that. That was you and Vinny, right?
No, it was Kreshi and Vinny. I just thought of the name for them and did the art.
Oh, hilarious.
I'm really good at naming podcasts. You know what our baseball podcast was called?
Ducks on the Pond.
Next Ducks on the Pond, man.
Nice.
That's the best podcast name I've ever come up with in my life.
I think I came up with Breakaway, which was nice. Got that one done.
I think you just did an SEO check, and you were like, here are the keywords. And I was like, Ryan, whatever you say.
Sounds good.
I will be there on Monday.
It fucking worked.
Yeah, no, I'm like, man, I'm happy Susan does baseball. I'm even happier that more women are doing baseball games. John Sterling, this being sudden and immediate, leads me to think he's not healthy, and I don't want that. That's not good. No.
My best to Sterling, amazing, legendary announcer, and I can still hear a lot of his calls.
Can I shout out Dwight Gooden, because I know he listens to this podcast?
Yeah, of course. John Franco, too.
He was not there yesterday. You would have been happy. Wow. Doc, for his number retirement, did everything a retiring Met should do. Thanked the fans. Said being a Met was the best time of his life. Took an Ryan, a disgustingly messy, wet shit on the Wilpons.
Oh, really?
His entire he said before he went in there. Also, completely disgusted by some of the questions reporters were asking Gooden in his pregame press conference, like just needling him about his addiction and whether he regrets anything.
What,
motherfucker?
Dude, relax.
We know the stories. Like, what? You've had 40 years to ask him about missing the 1986
parade. We're honoring this dude. What are we doing?
Not a fan of those guys. I'm on to you, old white men. I'm paying attention. But Gooden gets out there. Warned everybody that he didn't write a speech. God bless. And he's telling the story about how in 1994, the Mets terminated his contract because he got suspended for the year for drug addiction. Or not because he was a drug addict, but because he failed too many drug tests. And then he's like, I got picked up by the Yankees, won a World Series. And after the season, I called the Mets and said, hey, I want to come back. I want to make it right. The Mets said no. And then he said he went to Cleveland. After he was in Cleveland, he called the Mets again, asked the Mets to come back. Mets said no. So then he goes to, I think, the Yankees in Tampa Bay, calls the Mets again, asks the Mets to come back again. And this is in 2000 when the Mets are good. And the Mets say no again. And then after the 2000 season, when Doc knew it was over for him, he called the Mets, asked them if he could sign a one-day contract to end ceremoniously his career as a Met. The Wilpons said no.
Jesus
I gotta
Christ,
tell you,
dude.
I got to tell you, there's nothing on God's green earth makes me happier than when an athlete is like, you know who fucking sucks? Fred and Jeff Wilpon.
The people you all hated for all those years.
All those years. I'm like, yes, man. I am with you.
Cohen just sitting there shoving a hot dog down his face like, this is the best.
Steve's Steve is going to take that entire interview that Doc, not interview, the speech that Doc did, presented to the New York City Planning and Zoning Board. And it's like, would you like the Wilpons back, or are you going to give me this deed for the casino so I could build it next to Citi Field?
I think he's just going to have Yadira make like a fan cam of just that speech. So.
Also, did a lap around the stadium as I was trying to kill time. The graffiti that is along the wall for the soon-to-be future NYCFC home is just people writing sign Alonzo. That's all it says.
Well, not wrong.
Not wrong.
Wrong.
I added sign Soto too, just as like a addendum to that.
That seems like a good plan, by the way, to having Pete and Soto.
That's not a smart. Bad idea.
You should be a baseball GM.
I know. Give me all the money. I can do it. Oh, shout out Rick Carpinello.
Okay, coach.
Okay, he okay coached me, even though he knows I'm right this time. Where every human being that's like, you can't be an NHL coach, you can't do it. I look at everything Gerard Gallant did, and I go, I could fucking do that.
I could have done it.
If the job is to do nothing, I can do that. I'm
sure we talked about Laviolette in the open, but he's done like everything I've ever wanted a coach to do. So congratulations to him.
Not everything.
Very close.
Close.
Very
not close. Everything. We haven't found the one yet. We're still searching for Neo.
Very close. All right. All right. We're out of here. If you are in the city, whenever game one's happening, we're hosting a watch party.
Guys, as of Tuesday when you're listening to this, or Wednesday when you're listening to this, here's what we know. It'll be for game one. It'll be at T-Squared Social, which is right by Grand Central, and we will be there. That's about all the information we can give you, because the NHL is a poorly run league, and we have no idea when the playoffs start.
Okay. Well, let's go Rangers, and we'll talk to you guys later. Love you guys. Bye.
Right. Wait. One more thing.
Okay.
On the off chance, how quickly do you and I commit seppuku if it's actually Monday for game one?
Immediately. immediately. Not only do we have to get hotel rooms, but it's a nightmare.
Uh-huh.
It's actually one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Just putting it out there.
Like the second it happens.
I get texts from Gina.
There's no way they're gonna give the Rangers 7 days off.
Right? Really?
I know.
With this league? Oh my God. But I get a text from Gina every day now, who who's coming to the watch party, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Every day she's like, do we have any more information? And when I say no, she starts getting angry at me as if I'm withholding information from her.
Yeah, my dear wife is asking me, hey, what can we plan for these weekends? I go, I have absolutely no idea. She's like, we have a lot of responsibilities. Like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of things happening in both our lives that I wish I could have a fucking plan for.
Yep.
Great. Whatever. Right.
Follow me on Twitter at O'Reilly. Follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break. We'll be back next week. Love you guys. Bye. Hey, it's the end of the show, so I want to thank all the NHL Insider Club members for all the wonderful time we spent together in that ridiculous chat all year long. It's been wild, man. It's a little family. It's big, like McBearcat got married this weekend. Congratulations. A bunch of us sent him drink money. It's insane. Like people, like we talk about the Rangers all the time, but I think we've all become like weird internet friends, and I really enjoy it. So without further ado, I want to thank them personally. Adam Cohen, Adam McCutula, Adam Keach, Alex Flynn, Alex Gartner, Amber Collinsberger, Andrew Rauner, who was a winner this week, by the way. Congratulations, Andrew Rauner. Anthony Gray, Anthony McCall, Anthony Monturo. Oh, yeah, we do like a raffle every single week. I forgot to do it last week. Really super embarrassing. Anthony Tanagretta. We don't have a prize for the winner. If someone wins three times, we're going to figure it out, but no one's won three times. We've done four of these. We've done five, actually. Anthony Tanagretta, April Erickson, Eric Zanger, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Bennett Lemaire, Bill Olson, Bill Rattel, Brandon Bill Rattel, Bowen Greenleaf, Brandon Lackos, Brandon Magnum, Breck Ranger, Brett McGinnis. Welcome back, my friend. Brian Doherty, Brian Doyle, Brian Gallagher, Brian Mallon, Brian Sotavia, Brian Farrell, Cassidy Rollman, CJ, Chris Finelli, Chris Howru, CJ Selwag, and Conrad Pademage, Daniel Delaney, Daniel Dezen, David Narodin, David Siegel, Dennis Deitz, DJ Banana Jazz, Dr. Kruger, Dylan Breschneider, Eric Stagg, Gabe Valley, Greg Aranis, Gabe Gardner, Cup, Graham Clinton, Greg Gretzky McFly, two different names, Greg and Gretzky McFly, they're not the same name, Harrison Haskell, Hill, Vanilla, Hippip89, Ian Usher, Jack Bagley, Jake Grogan, Jake Keith, James Masker, Jerry Marquez, Jason Stumer, Jason Zabrowski, Joanna, John Hardesty, John Shea, Johnny Thundercock, Jordan, Josh, Justin Sirico, Josh Kestenbaum, Josh White, Chris of Florida, Carl Schweigen, I messed it up, Kevin Swirica, Kevin, let me know how to say your name, my friend. Lee Plummer, Leszek Granowski, Lou Giordano, Matthew Goodwin, Matthew Kine, Meatball the Cat, Mike Bucklaw, Meatball the Cat, Mike Koenig, Mike Bucklaw, Mike Mancuso, Mike Pasternak, Nate Hanafy, Neeks, Neil Grover, and Ponser Perez, other side, Pascal Perrier, Paul Joseph, Paul Patrick Kovarev, Phoenix, this is Peter Spur, Randy Tesser, Ryan Sieb, Ryan Watch Miracle, Swingard, The Drop PK, Tommy Sinclair, Tommy Tedeschi, Almost There, Tommy O'Neill, Tony Gregory, Tor from Hadley, Ripple Supporter, Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, Will Spector, and Winston the Golden Retriever. Bark, 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 bark. So earlier in this podcast, I threw in that I'm going to be a father, which is really, really weird for me, especially if you know my relationship with my dad. And to just say, like, I've known a lot of you a long time now, and since then I've like bought a house, and like I'm gonna be a dad, and the Rangers are going to the playoffs, and with maybe the best team I'll see in my lifetime, and just doing all this is super weird, and I just want to thank all of you personally. It's to know that I'm bringing another Ranger fan into this world. Well, who knows? She can choose her own thing, whatever. But she doesn't really have a choice. Like she's gonna be subjected to a lot of Ranger content, as I'm her father, but to do that and be like, hey, I'm just starting another tradition. And I've met so many of you who have like these wonderful stories around like Ranger fandom. And like, and I know Greg's a piece of shit, like, and talks about the Mets. Like, we all know that. I needed to say it. But on my side of things, like, the Ranger thing has been really special. Like, my partner and I don't really do the Ranger stuff. It's more of a work thing for me, but I see it so often with all of you. I mean, I met a couple recently at one of the watch parties. Like, their whole wedding was going to have like Ranger themes, and all the numbers were going to be players on the table. Like, I've seen so much of what that is, and I kind of wonder what that's going to be like for me and my daughter. It's like, wow, is this going to be something we like share together? Like, is she going to suffer like I do? Are we going to talk about how they need to shoot the puck, and why isn't a certain player on power play one, and why do we hate the sixth defenseman so much? And then we'll also make fan cams of people and make shitty jokes. Like, that sounds awesome, and something I hope I can do with my future daughter. Like, it's crazy to say. So we're doing September in the preseason, right on time for her to be ready for the next season. And I'm hopefully we can be celebrating all together. So hey, thanks everybody for coming along for these rides. It's been a crazy one. And the Rangers have a week off here before we head into what is absolutely the most stressful time of the year. So, hey guys, love you guys. And really, the question stands, like, why not us? And the only question that doesn't stand anymore is this team good? Because they are.